This episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
Acorn TV. And Nick and I realized as we were watching all of the televisions, these are all shows where everybody drives on the other side of the road.
I mean, except for like the Canadian things like Murdoch Mysteries. Yeah, it's a lot of left-handed driving.
But Murdoch Mysteries, there's still horses.
A loophole. So
I love a loophole.
So speaking of driving left, from New Zealand comes the Brokenwood Mysteries.
Let me set the scene. Everybody knows I'm obsessed with New Zealand, obviously from my love of Lord of the Rings, which everyone knows is a true story that happened in New Zealand. And so this takes place in a fictional town in New Zealand, small town, less than 5,000 people, which is exactly the size of the town I grew up in. And it's like a big city detective comes to the small town and has to work with the small town police force. What a recipe for a fantastic crime drama. And we have the small towns, people are dying left, right, and center.
And use code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. Hey there, it's Nick.
And it's Leah.
So we're doing another live show.
Were You Raised by Wolves Live.
And this time we're going to be on the West Coast.
Portland, Oregon, babies.
So come see us on June 15th.
And we're going to be at the Siren Theater. And the show starts at 7:30.
So go to our website, whereyouraisedbywolves.com/live, and get some tickets.
Join us.
Hey there, it's Nick.
And it's Leah.
Real quick thing before we get going, we are on a break this week.
Happy holidays.
But we don't want to leave you empty-handed, so we found the perfect episode from the archives just for you.
This is a really fun one.
I love it.
This has a lot. I was re-listening, and it just has a lot of, actually, I'm not going to say what order it's in because there's no A, B, C, or D. It's just across the board. But in this episode, Nick gives... And Nick always gives great advice, but you just came right out the pocket with this mind-blowing advice how to handle the sangria situation. I still think about it.
Yeah, no, the sangria advice. Yeah, I actually shined. Yeah, don't always. This time I did.
I mean, shining bright. Shining bright.
And you really shined for the empathy you have for inanimate objects at a supermarket.
Oh, I want you to know that that extends to outside of supermarkets as well. I'm like that in my own home. I think it's just a gift I have.
So we hope you all are on a break this week too. And we'll be back soon with an all new episode.
Yes, we're going to be back in the new year. And we cannot wait to spend 2024 with you.
So now let's start the show.
Let's get in it.
Hey, everybody, it's Nick Layton.
And it's Leah Bonema.
And we got so many great questions from you all in the wilderness.
Ow!
That, we have a bonus episode. So here we go. Our first question is, quote, in a supermarket, is it okay to take milk from the back that has a longer shelf life?
Is it okay? Am I for sure doing it? Yes.
So this question actually came to me from a journalist who was writing an article about grocery store etiquette and was interviewing me about thoughts on this, and I have some thoughts, and threw this question in at the end. And I have never been asked this question. I have never thought about this. I'm not even sure if this was etiquette. So I was definitely caught off guard because I was like, oh, what's right? I don't know. And I was trying to do the thing that we do, which is like, let's talk about it and like, let's walk through the issues and let's see if we can come to an answer. And this journalist was like not having it. She was like, just tell me, is
she's like, yes or no.
Right. Yeah. She just wanted the bottom line. And I was like, etiquette doesn't always work that way. You got to talk it out. So I said, I think it's fine, but let's talk about it to see like, am I correct? And like, how do we arrive at a correct answer here?
And it feels more like a moral conundrum.
Like ethics.
But then I was like, I don't think it's it, like, I do it. I'm going to admit to it. I'm admitting it to all of our listeners. But then when it was written out this way, I was like, oh no.
Right.
I've never thought about it. I was like, should I not be doing this?
Is it wrong? Right. So the way I started was etiquette is about being mindful of other people. So that's our baseline. And so I guess the first question is grabbing the fresher milk at the back, is that being not mindful of other potential customers of that milk? And it's sort of like, I don't think it is, because the milk at the front is also hypothetically fresh. It is also fine. It is fine milk.
I also would like to say, does the milk in the front feel bad that you didn't pick it? So are we hurting the milk's feelings? Because it was like I was next in line.
Oh, you're being picked last at kickball in elementary school. I see.
I think if you shouted out to the milk, hey, you're great too. I'm just a slow milk drinker. So I got to grab the back.
Okay. I mean, I feel like if that helps, I think that is very courteous of the milk. That is true. Also, I can totally see you actually doing that in a supermarket under your breath.
Oh, no, I'm saying it because I absolutely do that. I see. You're fantastic.
It's not you. It's me and the rate of milk drinking I do.
Because like, say you have like five people in your house, that front milk that expires in a week, that's great for you. But if you're one person and it's like you're a slow drinker, I need those 3 extra days. And I want that milk to know you're perfect for somebody, just not
yes,
me.
Yes, there's a lid for every pot. Yes, you'll find your person. The other thing I was thinking of is like bananas. Like when we buy bananas, there's all sorts of different ripeness levels of bananas. And none of us are thinking like, oh, I should only buy the ripest. I'm not allowed to buy the ones that might be ripe in 2 days from now. Mm. Like I think we're all comfortable buying the bananas that we want, right?
That's a very good thing to relate it to because definitely we all feel comfortable buying the bananas that we want.
But somehow when it's dairy, feelings are a little different somehow.
I think it's also that it's in a line. So you feel like I should take the one in front of the line.
Oh, that's true. There is this feeling of sequentialness.
Because if it was lined up this way, like
horizontally,
straight across,
right?
I don't even think we would be asking this question.
That's true. And then also I think we should just note the dates on stuff. Like this is not hard science at all. The best by date doesn't mean the next day it's a bad by date. These dates are almost arbitrary on a lot of products.
Oh, you don't have to. I grew up in a family that does not believe in Best Buy dates. Not only is it, it's just, no, that's not real.
Oh, I see. It's a conspiracy by Big Food to get you to buy more.
By Big Food to get you to buy more.
I mean, it is true. It does contribute to a lot of waste. Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right. Great question, though. Great question.
Great question. And I'm probably going to think about it again multiple times over the week to be like, every time I now go to the store, I'm going to be like, how does everybody feel about this?
And as long as you just give those affirmations to the front milk, I guess we're fine.
Hey, you're great. I'm going to try to come up with a milk pun for the milk when I do it. So it feels...
Oh, really look forward to getting that text. So our next question is, quote, can we talk about the etiquette of save the dates and RSVPs? Recently, a friend sent me a save the date for a party she was planning. It stated the date, general time, and the type of event, but there wasn't a location or specific time. She then sent a separate message along with the save the date requesting an RSVP. But my assumption was that that note was for after the invitation with further details had been sent out. About a week later, she called me and asked if she could have my RSVP. I was quite surprised because I still did not have all the information. And it did not occur to me that the RSVP request was for the save the date alone. We worked it all out and all is fine, but it did pose an interesting conundrum of etiquette as I questioned if I made a faux pas for not understanding the request. Is it now commonplace that people are asking for RSVPs before invitations are sent? Or was this scenario reasonably confusing?
I love that question. Is this scenario reasonably confusing? I feel like we should work it into a lot of things because that's really like...
I mean, definitely a lot of my life I'm thinking this. Like, what is this scenario? And is this confusion reasonable? Usually not. Usually it's not.
I do think this scenario was reasonably confusing.
Yeah. I mean, because the save the date is about saving the date. Just here's the date. Something's going to happen. Just hold this date, and then we're going to give you some details later, but just, like, save it. And usually we do that for an event that is far in advance that does require more planning, like a wedding where you might have to travel or, you know, something bigger. Like, you're not typically going to, like, save the date for, like, oh, let's hang out on Friday to watch Love Island. Like, I'm not going to send you a save the date for that, Leah, because it's just probably assumed that we're going to do that. But, like, we use save the dates for bigger things.
Yes, I agree. I feel like I'm doing it. But, I mean, I could be like, put a pin in that day, and then we'll get back with details.
Yeah, I guess a pin, that's a casual save the date. That's true, yeah. But, yeah, for this is reasonably confusing.
That's like the dress down save the date. Putting a pin in it is like the...
Yeah, it's the jeans.
And sneakers.
Exactly. Now, I will say, Miss Manners, she's really bothered by people using RSVP as a noun. And she says, like, did everyone fail high school French? So it is a noun, I think, at this point. I think we should just give in on that. But if you want to follow the Miss Manners rule, she does not like that. And she would rather you didn't do it. Yeah. So I think it's a little tricky to accept invitations when we don't have all the details. right?
Yes.
I mean, so I feel like until I have all the details, like, you shouldn't ask me to respond.
No, I'd be like, what am I agreeing to?
Right.
Where is it?
Although there are hosts that actually do like to trick you into just agreeing to something without all the details. So that might be what's happening. Like, oh, please come to my house for something.
But I mean, that's even, at least you know that you're going to your house. This is, I don't know the location.
That's true. Yeah, please hold this date and let me know you're coming.
And you're like, where is it?
Oh, doesn't matter.
Then you're like, I didn't know I had to get on a plane.
But I guess for this host, they would prefer to have their guests respond without all the details. That's just the style of host they are. So I think it is fair to be like, oh, I missed the details. Like, can you give me some more details so I know if I can make it work? Like, I think that's a fair response.
And I don't think that you committed a faux pas. I think that a lot of people would be confused by not having the details.
Everybody would be.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, so
who is this person who's like, this is fine? No, of course not. And just as a reminder, save the dates don't require a response. Like, they're just an FYI.
Well, I mean, they followed up with an RSVP to the save the date. That's why.
Well, right. Yes. So that's why this is provocative.
It is provocative.
And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Acorn TV, which has the best of British, Canadian, New Zealand, like all sorts of great television.
And they have tons of different kinds of shows.
Oh yeah, all sorts of genres.
I'm just severely focused on crime, mystery, murder. That's really my sweet spot.
And so obviously the Brokenwood Mysteries from New Zealand, this is up your alley.
Very up my alley because it combines my love of murder mysteries and my love of New Zealand, which was born from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, no, anything set in a seemingly quiet country town where something goes wrong. Yeah, I mean, this is up your alley.
Also, they have a big city detective move to said small town, having to work with the local police, and they have a different way of doing things that everybody finds to be a bit right. jarring. So up my alley.
So check that out and use promo code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Book of the Month.
I am loving getting to pick my Books of the Months. Is that the appropriate way to pluralize it? I'm loving getting my Books of the Month, but for multiple months now. So Books of the Months.
Yeah. Oh, it's so easy to order. It's super convenient. Their selection is wonderful. And this month I picked The Ministry of Time, which sounds wild. It is about a civil servant who's helping to manage some government program where time travelers from other eras like come to help with something. And then they apparently fall in love. What? So like this guy from the 1800s is like, what's Spotify? And then like, you know, love happens. So I cannot wait to receive this.
You know, love happens.
And you out there, you're going to love Book of the Month. So you can get your first book for just $5 with code PETALS. So go to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS to get your first book for just $5. So our next question is, quote, I was recently contacted by someone I vaguely knew at university through common friends almost 30 years ago. I barely remember this person, but they seemed to think we were friends. They are now trying to organize a reunion on the occasion of their next birthday. This would be a 1,000-mile trip to go see someone I have no interest in. So I planned to simply say I couldn't make it once I had an invitation. Instead, they are now trying to coordinate a date that works for everyone involved, and they keep asking me when I'm free. I've been asked on Instagram, on Facebook Messenger, and on a Facebook group set up just for this occasion. I don't want to volunteer any dates because I just don't want to go. I've been evasive so far, but they are not taking the hint. Is there a polite way to say, stop pestering me? Would it not be appropriate for the organizer to pick a date and then let people RSVP as they wish?
Also, I feel like I'm just saying, repeating the last sentences of our letter writer. That's my theme today, our letter writers. Uh-huh. But this, would it not be appropriate? I mean, how many times a day do I ask myself, why is this person doing this? Unfortunately, we can't be like, hey, this is not how we're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the worst because you're being trapped. You're being trapped because in a perfect world, there would be an event and it's at a date and time and you don't want to go. And you're like, unfortunately, I can't make it. Thank you so much, though. And that would be the end of it. And like, how wonderful. Harmony has been restored to the universe. But we have someone who wants to accommodate your schedule. And I guess on some level that is nice because it's like, if you actually wanted to go, it would actually be nice to be able to participate in the scheduling. And it's just the fact that you have no interest in going that makes this maddening.
Yeah, I do think that the person who's setting this up is just trying to accommodate as many people as possible. And it's in a spirit of wanting to celebrate together that they're doing this.
Yeah, it's not coming from a bad place. No.
And I think that you can just say to them, I'm not in a place where I can travel 1,000 miles right now due to my schedule. I appreciate you inviting me, but it's not something that I can figure out. But thank you so much.
Yes, I like that. Although we've added an excuse to that. And I'm always a little hesitant about offering excuses because excuses can sometimes start a negotiation. So it's like, oh, no problem. Actually, I was thinking of having another event in your neighborhood. So let's schedule that. We'll come down to where you are because other people are in your town too. So how wonderful.
Well, I don't know if this person would be bothered if it was in their area because I'm sure there's other friends in the group they know.
This person will be bothered. Oh. This person has no interest in this person.
I read this as
this. Doesn't matter where it's happening.
Okay. Well, that answer would work for me because I just didn't want to do the 1,000-mile trip. But if it was down the street on a Wednesday, I'm happy to swing by and have some nachos.
Yeah.
I will say for somebody such as myself who has a very moving schedule, I can't schedule out far dates for social events because of work. So I always tell people I can't schedule out because of, I mean, that's it. But for me, it is because of my work schedule. When you know what the date is and it's closer to the time, I can let you know.
Yeah, I guess that would probably be the best way to handle it. That gives you the most flexibility in declining, which is what we want because we don't want to go to this thing.
But I do think that this person, on the flip side of that, the person who's setting up the party is probably just trying to accommodate people like you suggested.
Yes.
And that if we just let them know, don't try to accommodate for me, I don't want to go, but in a nicer way. I think we can just say that because that way they don't try to keep, I think they just think that you want to go.
Oh yeah, they think that, yes. And I guess until you say I'm busy until the end of time.
Yes, that they're going to keep doing this. So that's why I think it has to be like, I have no intention, the nicest way of saying, I have no intention of coming. That so they don't try to keep doing this.
Yeah. No, I think something along the lines of like, thank you so much for thinking of me. Unfortunately, I can't commit to anything at this time. So best not to try and schedule around me. But thank you.
I like that very much.
And then like, leave it at that.
I love that.
And now it's not about why I can't. Or could I in the future? It's just, that's what it is.
I think that's perfect.
Now, just I think for people who want to try and schedule, like what are our signs of a host that a guest is reluctant, right? Because I think that's also what's missing. Like the host is not taking the hint here that this guest is like not interested.
Well, I think the host, who I'm sure is a very lovely person, I mean, they're reaching out to somebody who they vaguely knew 30 years ago.
Right.
So I don't know if they are our barometer of...
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I reached out to like 10 people I knew and one of them was being evasive, I would get it.
Right. Although if you reach out to 50 people you didn't even know and one was being evasive, I would also get it.
I would also get that too, yeah. I'd be like, okay, no worries. I'll let you know the date if you can come, if you can. If you can't, no worries.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I will do one follow-up with people, but like there is a point where like, I'm not going to chase you if you don't want to come to my party. So like, I'll follow up once, maybe twice. You're not going to get a third out of me.
I'm also not following up on multiple platforms.
That's, I think maybe that detail is crucial.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a, that's why I think we just need to cut it off. This person is hot to get everybody's timelines to the point that they're switching social media apps. So I think you can just be like, I can't, the way Nick said it, which was lovely.
Thank you.
So they stop trying to.
Yeah, I think that's the takeaway message. Got to pick one platform and that's it. I don't think we want to be platform switching.
No, that feels like a.
It's too much.
It's too much. It's some kind of I immediately thought of like the battles in Lord of the Rings where people are coming in from all sides and you're like, hey, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. So don't Lord of the Rings this.
Don't Lord of the Rings me. Or do Lord of the Rings me, but don't Lord of the Rings me in a battle scene.
There's a lot of ways to Lord of the Ring, I guess. So our next question is, quote, recently, I did a road trip to see spring baseball games. After a game, I went to a wine bar advertising homemade sangria. Since it was a hot day, this sounded delightful. I sat at the bar, and the patron next to me struck up a conversation about our favorite teams, and as the bartender brought me my sangria, my neighbor insisted he pay for my drink. Nothing weird here, just friendly people talking about baseball. The problem? The sangria was disgusting. The worst I've ever had. If I'd been paying, I would have had a polite yet direct conversation with the bartender by offering to pay for the sangria, but then asking for something else. Or I would have paid quickly and then snuck out. However, since my friendly neighbor paid for the drink, I felt I had to drink all of it. I choked down the awful drink and tried to keep up my end of the conversation. But what should I have done? What was my responsibility to my neighbor and the bartender?
I feel like I would be the person in this that doesn't necessarily handle it correctly. So because of this is like the kind of thing where I also would have just drank it.
Yes, that 100% would have been your response.
Yeah, I would have just drank it.
Yeah. That's what you do. And I think that's a fine answer. I mean, that's definitely polite. I mean, that's the optimal etiquette response.
Unless it was actually going to make me ill.
Oh, health and safety always trumps etiquette. Absolutely. Correct.
And I would have just said, thank you so much for getting this for me. I think there's something a little wrong with it. I'm just going to get myself another drink. I'm going to pay for it, but I appreciate that, you know. But if I felt I was going to be ill, I wouldn't. I want to say that I have some boundaries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's fair. And as a reminder, we really should set those boundaries. Let's not put ourselves in harm's way just for the sake of being quote unquote polite. Okay, baseline set. But for this, it's not going to kill you. It's just gross. It's just disgusting sangria, which happens. This happens. It's a thing that happens in the world. So, yeah, I can see it's tricky because you're like, oh, I don't want to offend multiple people now.
Yeah, and it's a strange, like if it was a friend and you were like, oh, it's different.
That's true, yeah, because we don't really know this person. And it was so nice of them to do it,
too.
It was just
a nice gesture.
So my initial thought is that life is too short for bad drinks. So if you ever have a bad cocktail anywhere, I really feel like don't finish it. Just get something else. And yes, you will probably have to pay for that something else, and that's fine. But like, life is too short for bad cocktails. So I feel like you should absolutely get a drink that you enjoy. I think that is fair, and I think we just need to achieve that somehow. And so I think my first thought was to politely let the bartender know, oh, I don't know if the sangria is my taste. Could I please have, and then whatever it is. And then you turn to the person who bought you the drink and say like, yeah, it just wasn't for me, I think, at this moment. But like, let me buy you a drink. What would you like? And then I think we turn it around and we buy our neighbor a drink. And now we bought the next round. And now we have sort of reciprocated that hospitality. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. And then like, we move on. I feel like that's how I would do it.
I love this so much. This is phenomenal work, okay. Nick Layton. We're buying a round. This isn't to my taste. Let me get something else, and I'm going to get you something this time. And that's perfect.
And I think it's the buying the round, let me buy you something. I think that's the thing that like makes all this smooth over and fine.
Yes.
Right? So do that.
I feel really good about this because I feel like this is something that could come up in the future for all of us.
Oh, this is a thing that will happen to people. Absolutely. Yes. Where somebody buys you something that you don't like, and now you're stuck with this thing in front of them. And you're like, how do I swap this out in this moment?
And I do agree with you. Life is too short to eat bad food or drink bad drinks.
Yeah. Oh, it goes for gelato. Yeah. If you go gelato and you're like, oh, this flavor isn't what I wanted, don't finish it. Get more gelato. Get the gelato that you want.
I mean, just... Gems.
I mean, this is really a metaphor for life, though. Right? I feel like it's just a metaphor. Life is too short to like have bad stuff. So just like trade up for better stuff.
Trade up.
Is that the metaphor? Maybe. Maybe we have to work on this. But you get the idea.
I love it. I love it. And I feel secure in this.
Okay.
Next time this happens, I'm just getting around for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not to my taste. I'm going to swap it out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess... Is that too extreme? It's like having to buy a round because you didn't like your sangria. Yeah, I think actually if you don't want to choke it down, I guess that is really the best option. I think it's one of those two things.
Yeah, because that way you know you won't feel weird in any way. You won't have to be like, did I? Was it? You can be like, nope, I handled that above and beyond what was necessary.
Great. All right. So I think we actually solved one today.
I feel really good about it.
Yeah, I feel good about that one.
I mean, I didn't do it. You did, but I feel good in having this information.
Team effort, Leah. Team effort. Rising tide lifts all boats over here. So our next thing is, I guess this is an aftermath. Is this an aftermath?
Aftermath. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So what this is some episodes ago, we were talking about collective nouns. And it's like a pride of lions or a pod of dolphins or a murder of crows. What is the collective noun for a group of rude people? And so I had some ideas, but we asked you all in the wilderness to give us your ideas. And oh, did you give us some great ideas?
Fabulous, fabulous ideas.
Amazing ideas. So some of my favorites are ones that I came up with, but I like them a lot. So I'll start with them. And so I think one of my favorites is a disappointment. I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. So a disappointment of rude people.
I love it because it really has a Nick morality flavor that just makes it so perfect. Little judgmental, as deserved, as deserved.
Oh, I don't feel bad about it. Yeah. The other one I like a lot is just a sound. Ugh. So it's just an ugh of rude people. I feel like that captures something.
It really does. One of my favorites of yours was an infection.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went down that path, which is like an infection, an ooze. Yeah. Because, you know, infections are bad.
Yeah, because they're spreading.
Yeah.
I also loved a lot of our listeners sent in R words that I think really rolls off the tongue.
Nice alliteration.
We had a rowdy, a rash, a rumble, a regurgitation.
Oh, that's
a
good.
A rabble. A roost, a ravage.
Yeah, those are all like very solid and they sound good. And something that sounds nice with that alliteration, I think that definitely makes it a good contender.
And this doesn't start with an R, but it has a nice R sound in it. Somebody suggested a churl, which I like that. I can see it.
Churl. Yeah, because in order to say it, you have to roll your lip a little bit. You have to like curl it a little bit. And that conveys the disgust that I think we want to convey with this.
Yes.
Oh, that makes it a good word for sure.
And somebody sent in a crass, which I love. And I think it suggests maybe that we could break down under the heading of different rudes, different types of rudes. We got the disappointment of rudes. We got the crass of rudes, depending on what type of rude they are.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a really good point. Because like rudeness comes in different flavors. And there's definitely rudeness that's like not crass.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
It's disappointing.
But yeah, it's not necessarily crass. So yeah.
Oh, somebody wrote in an embarrassment.
Oh.
An embarrassment of rudes.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I mean, a lot of nouns actually have multiple collective nouns that are valid. Like for dolphins, you can say a pod, but I think you can also say a school or a team. So maybe rude people also gets to have multiple collective nouns assigned to it. We don't have to pick just one.
Perfect. Also, I call a group of dolphins cutes. Okay. A cutes of dolphins. I made that one up.
I mean, it's not wrong. I mean, it's no more wrong than some of these other weird ones that actually are official.
It's not incorrect.
So I'm going to post this list on the show notes so you can take a look at it. And this is a living document, I think. I feel like we're going to add to it. And I don't feel like we need to actually narrow it down at all. I don't feel like we actually have to like come up with like one or three. I feel like all of them should be valid collective nouns.
And I love all of the suggestions our listeners sent in. They are fantastic and creatively wonderful. And I'm delighted.
Totally delighted. So thank you for those. Keep sending them in. And do you also have questions for us? Oh, yes, you do. Send those to us too. You can send them to us at our website, WeRaisedByWolves.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message, 267-CALL-RBW. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. This episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
Acorn TV. And Nick and I realized as we were watching all of the televisions, these are all shows where everybody drives on the other side of the road.
I mean, except for like the Canadian things like Murdoch Mysteries. Yeah, it's a lot of left-handed driving.
But Murdoch Mysteries, there's still horses.
A loophole. So
I love a loophole.
So speaking of driving left, from New Zealand comes the Brokenwood Mysteries.
Let me set the scene. Everybody knows I'm obsessed with New Zealand, obviously from my love of Lord of the Rings, which everyone knows is a true story that happened in New Zealand. And so this takes place in a fictional town in New Zealand, small town, less than 5,000 people, which is exactly the size of the town I grew up in. And it's like a big city detective comes to the small town and has to work with the small town police force. What a recipe for a fantastic crime drama. And we have the small towns, people are dying left, right, and center.
And use code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. This episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
Acorn TV. And Nick and I realized as we were watching all of the televisions, these are all shows where everybody drives on the other side of the road.
I mean, except for like the Canadian things like Murdoch Mysteries. Yeah, it's a lot of left-handed driving.
But Murdoch Mysteries, there's still horses.
A loophole. So
I love a loophole.
So speaking of driving left, from New Zealand comes the Brokenwood Mysteries.
Let me set the scene. Everybody knows I'm obsessed with New Zealand, obviously from my love of Lord of the Rings, which everyone knows is a true story that happened in New Zealand. And so this takes place in a fictional town in New Zealand, small town, less than 5,000 people, which is exactly the size of the town I grew up in. And it's like a big city detective comes to the small town and has to work with the small town police force. What a recipe for a fantastic crime drama. And we have the small towns, people are dying left, right, and center.
And use code ACORN30 at acorn.tv.